Wow, it's really good to see you this morning, and I'm like Jackson. I wasn't sure what to expect on Memorial Weekend. This is a great crowd. I know we've got probably at least 24 of our regular attenders who are out. We've got a big wedding this evening in Oklahoma City. We've got folks who are out making vacation trips first weekend of summer, but we are delighted that you are here. I met Ronnie from Kansas City. He's here visiting his sister Sue. Good to have you here today. Savannah is here from Asheville, Alabama, visiting the Jones, her grandparents. Savannah, great to have you today as well. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And while you're turning, let me just encourage you, if you get a chance, this evening, tonight, tomorrow, the rest of this week, we are one of the main sponsors of the NCAA Division II World Series Championship for baseball. And Western Oklahoma is in the tournament. They've won the national championship two times, and each time that they've won it, they have brought the entire team to Emmanuel for a worship service. And I anticipate that they'll be here at our next service, the third service. But root really for any team. It's good baseball. It's great activities for Enid. And if you see people from out of state in our city, be sure and be warm and welcome them. But as I said, Emmanuel Enid is one of the main sponsors. Great things are coming to Enid. I've been working with Paul Allen and some corporations for the soccer complex that is going out west. I don't think people in our city comprehend the amount of work that is going into the building of this complex, the size of it, and when it's all done in 2022, there will be tens of thousands of people who will be coming to Enid from all over our region. It's just, it's really exciting. Of course, you'll be hearing in about 6 weeks what's happening this Christmas, and it is astonishing. And I know I'm prone to exaggeration. That's one of my sins. But I'm telling you, I cannot build up the expectations bigger than what it's going to be. It is phenomenal for our community. So it's a great time. Stan Ralston, who works for the state of Oklahoma, comes to our Tuesday morning men's Bible study. He is a wonderful businessman. He works with small businesses in Oklahoma. He has affirmed what I know to be true. There are people on both coasts calling Oklahoma, specifically asking about Enid, to move here with their families. And I think it is because we are beginning to be known as a center for liberty in the United States of America. That is the truth, and I want that to continue. And as you know, what an incredible report by our pastor search team. Rochelle and I pray for this team regularly. We are part of you. I filled out the survey. This is my home church. We have planted our roots here. Our office will be on Van Buren. I'll be attending Emmanuel regularly, sitting with you. Now, we have a very gentle discussion on which service we will be attending. You know, we love all three, but I'm an early riser. I get up really, really early. And I love the 7:30 service, Terry. There's not a lot of folks here, but I love that. But Rochelle's like, I don't start moving until 8 o'clock. Just kidding. On Sunday, she's an early riser too, but Sunday she loves this service. So anyway, we're part of you. Here's what I want you to know. When I was a young pastor, I came here when I was 29. I'm 59. You know, when I came here, everybody called me Sonny, you know. And I haven't heard that in a long, long time, okay? But I'm still too young to retire, and I know that. But I want you to understand that I'm going to work harder than I've ever worked, but I'm just being candid and transparent with you. Some of the things that I write, some of the things that I say, even though I've kept it separate from Emmanuel, I'm fairly well known, And too many people associate what I say, what I write with this church. And that's not always good because, as you know, you've been coming. I only talk about the scripture, talk about the Bible, talk about Jesus Christ on Sunday. They think I talk about other things because they read what I write. And I'm like, okay, it's time. Because you think I'm writing strongly right now about what's wrong with our country? You just wait. In 2022, I will be weighed unchained, okay? But again, this morning, we're looking at the scripture. And that's all we do on Sunday mornings. We don't care your political background. We don't care your economic background. We are family. We're part of the kingdom. And that's what we do at Emmanuel. And that's what will be true of our next pastor and where we will be going. Now, today, next week, we finish 1 Corinthians 13. I'll be going to the Southern Baptist Convention the last time that I go in June. When I come back, we'll do a 7-week series on the last words of Christ on the cross, the 7 last sayings of Jesus on the cross at Calvary when he died for me and for you. And then I do have a sense of confirmation. I'm looking forward to it. The last series that I will teach before Christmas this year will be from the book of Daniel. And Terry, it's my favorite book in all of the Bible. I've never taught it on a Sunday morning. I've taught it one time on a Wednesday night, 1 hour, nonstop, no music, start, finish. So I've got to compress it. But if you think the world is in bad shape and you're a little discouraged about where this world is going and how America fits into that, oh my goodness, Daniel has the answers, because the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a rock that will stand no matter what occurs in this world. And I'll show you that in the book of Daniel. So, a lot of fun in the months to come, and Kara will continue to pray for the pastor search committee. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Ronnie, we've been talking about the subject of love. And the verse that we're going to look at this morning is one of the most often quoted verses that you'll ever hear from the Bible. But just because you quote a verse doesn't necessarily mean you understand the verse. To know what a verse really means, you've got to know what comes before the verse, what comes after the verse. That's called context. Because if you take a verse out of its context, you'll end up with a pretext. The word pretext means false conclusion. We don't want to do that. So this morning, we're going to look at an oft-quoted biblical statement, and I want to show you the incredible meaning of this verse. Here we go. Verse 11, 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Now, ladies, when you read that verse, don't worry. You're included. And in fact, as you know, in the Bible, the word man refers to both men and women. It's generic. In fact, the Hebrew word for man is Adam or Adam. Most people don't realize that Adam is not a name. Adam is a title. Adam is mankind. So when we use the term man, when I became a man, it's referring to you too. When I became an adult woman, when I became a mature man, I put away childish things. All of us remember, I think it was a decade ago, Coach Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State University. You remember that? I don't know if you know the context of what happened. Some of you may not even know about it. But he was at a televised press conference after an Oklahoma State victory football game. And during the conference, he points his finger at a reporter who, by the way, is a friend of mine. Her name is Jenny Carlson. She's come to Enid to speak at my invitation on a couple of different times. Jenny Carlson had written an article, and you wouldn't call it a hit piece at all, but it was a tough article on the poor play and performance of the quarterback for Oklahoma State University. Well, Coach Gundy didn't like that. So he pointed his finger at Jenny Carlson and he said, "You want to write an article like that? Write it about me. I am a man. I'm 40 years old. You remember that?" Okay, now, I mean, if I was a parent of a student at Oklahoma State University, I would love that. I would love for a coach to defend my child. But what he said has become a meme that is used even today. "I am a man. I'm 40 years old." This week, I read a Psychology Today article that talked about how you can tell whether or not someone has left aside childish behavior and become a mature adult, or to be more blunt, how you can tell if a man or a woman is acting like a child. And there were seven things listed there. I won't go over all seven, but let me give you two or three of them. The psychologist said, first of all, they blame other people for problems. Like a child, something happens, Scotty did it. They point their finger at somebody else. They lie. A child, when they know that maybe there's impending pain, maybe a spanking or something like that, they will lie about what happened. That's childish behavior. The psychologist said the child has to be the center of attention. And there is not the ability to control emotions. For example, when's the last time you've been in a restaurant and you've heard a child express in anger, scream at the top of their lungs? Look, that's childish behavior. You don't see that among adults, right? They've put away childish things. But this psychologist left out one attribute of moving from childhood to adulthood, or in our context, from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. Verse 11, in its context, shows us the importance of a follower of Jesus Christ loving people. What Paul is saying in this text is that if you really want to know whether or not you've reached a level of spiritual maturity in your Christian faith, ask yourself, am I loving people like Jesus loves me? That's the point. Remember last week I showed you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the people to whom Paul was writing this letter, Christians, followers of Jesus who lived in Corinth, they were arguing over spiritual gifts. Some people had gifts that they would stand up and teach and everybody go, "Oh, wow, what an incredible teacher." And then there would be jealousy and envy. People would say, "Why do I have the gift of service or the gift of giving? Or why does my husband not have the gift of prophecy? How come I can't speak like Carol or Rochelle?" And Paul writes this letter and he says, "Guys, come on. We're all the body of Christ, and not everybody is gifted in the same way. Why are you arguing among yourselves? Why are there petty jealousies because of the differences in the congregation? Stop." In fact, he says, "I will now show you a more excellent way to live." That's the last verse of chapter 12. And then here comes chapter 13. Paul gives us 15 descriptions of real love. And listen to me very carefully. I don't know what you think a Christian is. I don't know if you think it's a right-wing political pundit. No. I don't know if you think it's just somebody who's religious on Sunday. No. A follower of Jesus Christ is someone who knows how to love other people the way God loves him. And when you read 1 Corinthians 13, these 15 descriptions of love, I want you to read those and think to yourself, this is how God loves me. Listen, next time you ever mess up, you get angry with someone and they sever a relationship because of your anger, next time you do something you're ashamed of or embarrassed of, and you begin to think to yourself, oh man, God's not pleased with me. He's turning his back on me. He's turning away from me. Get you a cup of coffee, sit down in your recliner, and open to 1 Corinthians 13. And Terry, read what God thinks of you. This is God's love for you. And the thing is, when you get tapped into that and connected to it, then you start loving other people in the same manner. Even those who mistreat you. Even those who say terrible things about you. Even those who don't like you. You love them the way God loves you because you didn't like God at one time. You didn't have high thoughts of him, but he still loved you and pursued you. This is the message of 1 Corinthians 13. And then in verse 10, we saw last Sunday how Paul said that the spiritual gifts that you've been given as a follower of Jesus Christ, and remember, everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ is given a spiritual gift. It's not a talent. It's a supernatural gift that the Spirit gives. Somebody is really giving, really an exhorter or an encourager, has a gift of teaching. These gifts are temporary and will be done away with when the perfect comes. And I showed you last Sunday that the perfect, I believe, is Jesus Christ. When he comes for you in death or when he comes in his return, spiritual gifts are no longer needed. Because you see him face to face. Everybody sees the head, and the body just follows the head and loves each other and continues our lives, loving one another for eternity. By the way, and I'll just say this, I don't know who I'm saying it for, but if you think heaven is a perpetual worship service where you're floating on a cloud, playing a harp, singing songs, listen, heaven is the earth with the curse reversed, with Jesus reigning and an exploration of the universe, with cities being built, with art. But can you imagine living in a city where there is no need for police officers? Can you imagine living in a city where there's no need for doctors? Can you imagine living in a city when there is no need for preachers? Listen, you say, man, I better find me another job. Well, no. I think what you need to do is recognize that who you are in Christ is the essence of identity, not what you do. It's who you are because of him. So here's what Paul does in the verse that we read just a moment ago, verse 11. He gives us an illustration to show us not to get too attached to our stuff. He says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Suppose two ladies in the first service this morning said that they had actually done what I'm about to suppose. Yesterday, they drove around Rochelle's and I new building, and they thought I was in there, and I wasn't, but one of these days, they'll come in. But suppose you walked in that building. And you saw me seated on the floor, playing with child's toys. Just playing with those toys and ask you to come over and sit down with me and play toys. I mean, you'd say, wait, that's just stupid. I wouldn't expect that of you. Well, of course not. However, if my grandson, Henry, the cutest little boy you've ever seen, 3 years old, if he's in there, and he's playing with toys, and he invites you over to sit down and play with those toys, that's natural to you, right? Right. I've become a man. Listen to me. The application of verse 11 in its context is that all these things that the Corinthian church and maybe even people in our church wrestle over, fight over, disagree over, are nothing compared to the gift of loving people. Let me show you what I mean. Material possessions are nothing compared to the grace of loving others. This is how you know you've become a man in terms of your walk with Christ. Loving other people is more important to you than even your physical possessions. The Bible says it is God who gives you the power to create wealth. Some of us, as I said, 59, one of the things Rochelle and I talk about is I'm in the prime income years and I'm stepping away from a salary in order to do what I believe God has called me to do, which is to write, and there are no guarantees. And so I, like you, I look at investments. I can tell you what the CPI was last Thursday when it came out, 3.6. I can tell you the price of silver and gold. I can tell you where the stock market has been. And so, I mean, I have a degree in finance. But here's the deal. So help me. If I'm more concerned about my bank account than I am loving you where you are, I am acting like a child spiritually. That's the point. And by the way, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to me. You know, even this week when there's a strain of having to get things done, when there's pressure to perform, sometimes I can lose sight of what Paul is saying in this text. When I was a child, before I knew Christ, I did childish things. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I came to know Christ, I put off childish things. What are the childish things here? It's not loving people the way God loves me. Are you following me now? So, how about this one? Physical health is nothing compared to the grace of loving others. You know, I look around the auditorium, and this was particularly true in the first service. I visited with one of our church members. She's going to be having some tests done next week on her spine. And then they're going to open up her spine. She doesn't know how serious the surgery will be, but Terry, obviously, she's concerned. I made a trip this week to Oklahoma City, and the couple may be watching. I'll not mention their names, of course. But I went down to pray with them before an exploratory surgery. The gentleman's in his 80s. He's still mobile. Well, just a wonderful friend. But he has a mass in his stomach. And they're going to remove the mass and do a culture to see whether or not it was benign or is benign and so on. We'll know next week. This morning, on that woman with the back surgery, this week with this couple in Oklahoma City, I paused and I prayed with them. I know some of you in this auditorium, you're concerned about maybe your physical health. Maybe there's some tests that are coming that you're going to get back really soon. Listen, the Bible tells us that the Lord will raise you up. What does that mean? Well, it simply means this. Take your medicine, go to your physician, but it is the Lord who brings healing. But what Paul is saying is this. If you're more concerned about your physical health than you are your ability to love people the way God loves you, you're acting like a child. It is better to die with a heart full of love than to live with a heart full of bitterness. Again, had a gentleman in the early service. He's been a friend of mine for a while. I've worked with him, discipled him. He's going through a divorce, and it's been very painful. But he came up to me afterwards, and he said, you know, Wade, I think I'm finally getting it. I'm getting what you're saying. You're telling me that God loves me, and the evidence of it is that he gave me a son. And if I want to know what kind of love he has for me, I just look at 1 Corinthians 13. But what you're hammering into my head is this. I have no options when it comes to loving other people. If I want to be a mature follower of Jesus Christ, I love them the way God loves me. I get it. I get it. Next week, when we close out this series, I'll show you that none of us are ever perfect. None of us ever love people the way God loves us. But that's our goal. That's what we press toward. And if we don't, we just simply acknowledge that the struggle is within us. We don't point fingers. We don't blame other people. How about this one? Personal fame is nothing compared to the grace of loving others. I'm on Twitter and social media, and I don't follow a lot of people, but it's just amazing how social influencers, they want people to notice them. Notice, look at me, look at me. Look at how skinny I am, look at how muscular I am. Look at my tan, look at my hair, look at my teeth. Look at me. And Jesus said, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and the servant of all. If you're more concerned about your career and where you're headed than you are loving people, that's the message. This verse. All other spiritual gifts, all other physical material blessings, all other biblical doctrines are inferior to the grace of loving other people the way Jesus loves you. Now the problem is too many churches present a God who doesn't love. How sad. Of course God is just. Of course those who do not kiss his son will receive just judgment. But God, he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He invites all sinners like us to his son. And when you open your heart to Jesus Christ and you say, Jesus, I don't understand everything there is to know about you. I don't even come close. But I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. He will come in. And he'll take you from childhood to manhood. Gavin MacLeod, remember him? Mary Tyler Moore. Oh my goodness, I loved watching Mary Tyler Moore when I was a kid. Then The Love Boat came out. Oh my goodness. The Love Boat. Gavin MacLeod, did you know that Gavin MacLeod was in his 70s when he gave his life to Jesus Christ? You know what it means to be a child, though you're an adult? Means you've not learned how to live in light of the love of Jesus for your life. When I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you displayed that love in Christ, our Savior, who died the death we deserved to die, but conquered both sin and our judgment. Lord, if there's one here who has never placed his or her faith in Christ, even today, may your Spirit move. Where you sit, if you want Jesus to change your life, he can do it if you just ask him. If that's your heart, why don't you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I need you. I need to become a man. I need to grow up to love people the way you love me. Come into my life and teach me how you love me and empower me to love others in the same manner. In your name, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we'd love to visit with you. We're glad you're here, part of Emmanuel. I'm going to make an executive decision this morning. Because we went a little bit long, we're not going to show the video booth. We're going to close out, and I'm just going to give a verbal announcement. Let me invite you to do two things. First of all, Rochelle and I will be co-teaching beginning this Wednesday night at 6:30. Very informal, a lot of Q&A, a discussion on how to work through issues, blended families, as a widow or widower with extended family, as someone going through marital problems, children who are rebellious, families where grace is in place, going through 10 different principles that have helped us over 40 years of pastoral ministry, both in our relationship and with others. So if you can come, just come. 6:30, we'll be out. 7:30. Youth will be meeting with Ryan and Chloe. Oh, my word, they're setting records in the number of kids coming in youth. Children will be here, and Lori's got a great program for them in ministry. Choir and orchestra will be rehearsing as well. By the way, they've done a great job on the stage. We weren't through with lights. They're going to be working the next couple of weeks. If you're watching online and it's a little dark and black and no depth, we know we're working on it, and that'll be 2 weeks away from being completed. But fill out the little, let us know that you want to come to the meal Wednesday night. Great meal Doug and Peggy provide. It's a great summer series that begins this Wednesday night. And then next Sunday, we close out 1 Corinthians 13. And Mom, you may be watching. Thumbs up, Mom. You may be listening. She's a professional editor. She has taken each of these sermons for the last 20 in 1 Corinthians 13, and she has transcribed them. She has edited them. And the book, Love Never Fails, should come out by the end of the summer. And I'm dedicating it to the Bundys, who've been a great blessing to the Burleson family, and we'll share more about how they've been a blessing. So, God bless you. Ronnie, good to have you. Savannah, great to have you. Others of you, you're dismissed. See you Wednesday night or next Sunday.